certainly say that is the juiciest movie I've seen in a while.
Just really gooey, you know?
Texturally? Like the textures of that film?
Yeah, just something you can really... You know, like that game you play at Halloween where you pass around like a plate of spaghetti and some peeled eyeballs when you're like blindfolded and you have to touch them and be like, this was his intestines.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Pause. What you have laid out is a description of passing around a bowl of peeled eyeballs, is what you said. And then they stick their hand in it and they say, this is intestines. And then presumably you rip the blindfold off and you go, psych, kids, it was a fucking eyes. So yes, this movie is exactly like that.
I mean, actually, that's pretty accurate. So we just watched The Thing, the 1982 version?
Yeah.
Yes.
Primo Kurt Russell.
Oh my god, that man was literally a hairball with sunglasses and for some reason a cowboy hat. I guess that was just very important to his character. Which, you know what, actually, as I'm saying that, I'm like, that cowboy hat was important to his character.
It was important to his character.
He would not be the character. He would not be the man that he is without that cowboy hat.
And honestly, and I don't even mean this in a way where, like, I was, like, attracted to his, to him or his character, but just virile.
I thought you were going
to
say... attracted to his cowboy hat.
I am attracted to his cowboy hat.
Yeah, I know. Let's be honest about that. The cowboy hat was the MVP of the movie.
But
like
just
the raw sexual power of that cowboy hat.
I mean, listen, coupled with the beard and the hair, I felt like I was at risk of pregnancy.
And then all the gooey action that was going on
nope,
in that movie.
Incorrect. Well, what was your favorite transformation?
Oh, boy. They're also... Okay, you know what? No, it's the dog. The very first time that you see it. Because that... I just, like... I don't know. I can still remember the first time watching this and just, like, my mind being blown. You know? Where you... Because it's, like, it's from the 80s, you know? A lot of times, 80s movies... It's not like they're bad, obviously. I love 80s movies. But you don't necessarily expect, from a modern standpoint, to look back on an 80s horror movie and for the effects to be actually really effective.
Yeah.
They were very effective. They were fucked up.
Let me tell you, and since we have a glimpse of the computer technology that was available to them in the 1980s.
Oh my god.
You know it all had to be practical.
Yeah, that's such a great scene.
The
main character, MacReady, is playing the chess wizard, and it beats him, and he just pours his whiskey into the circuit board. It's like, that's the only computer game you have, and you just fucking nuked it, because you lost.
Exactly, and then that's such, as you pointed out while we were texting, such a metaphor for humanity in this movie.
Pointed that out, Sarah.
Yes, but you made the joke, and I was like, no, for real. Once MacReady realizes he can't win, he's like, yo, then fuck this place. Fuck this alien.
Yeet.
Yeet, boom. I thought you were talking about, though, about the other computer scene,
oh,
which is where
yeah.
we see Blair running a computer simulation, which is like a shitty Pac-Man game.
Yeah, and then, like, the computer...
It's just one pixel eating the other pixel.
Yeah, it's so bad. And then somehow the computer also instantly knows, like, the probability of one of the crew members being infected and, like, exactly how long it would take for all of humanity to be turned if the thing escaped the base. And it's just like, do you guys have a rudimentary AI at this base? I don't think computers can really just... I don't think that you can make three fucking keystrokes like we see the guy do, and the computer's just like, oh yes, of course, 27,000 hours before a total humanity assimilation. Like,
which, I just did the math, is 3 years. Which, you know, that's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Not bad. We could probably, like, figure something out in 3 years.
We as in you and I, or like the human race?
Oh, the human race.
Okay.
I didn't even figure out my fucking major until, like, it was required of me to continue.
Oh, God. But what about you? What was your favorite transformation?
Well, you took the dog.
I did. Which, it's mine.
Yeah. Let me tell you, though, real quick, that dog actor was superb.
He was so good. This was actually distracting this time around. Like, I've never before, while watching this movie, been sitting here being like, that dog is so good. Look at, he's so good. He's so well trained. He's doing such a good job. He's so ominous as he walks into that room.
I know, he's hitting all his beats. He's like stopping. He's looking in this doorway. Then he's walking on. He's looking in this doorway. He's hesitating. And then he's going in.
Okay, like I was saying it in a jokey voice, but I'm like actually impressed with this dog actor. Like,
yeah, no, he's like crazy good.
That dog was a better actor than some of the humans, honestly.
They all were going through quite a lot of stress. The dog was just here to have a good time, not a long time.
I love the guy who loves the dogs because, A, that's a mood where literally all he cares about is the dogs. Like, people are dying and he's like, no, don't kill the dogs! And I'm like, yeah, same, bro. But also the fact that he was like, there's just like this scene where somebody like vaguely accuses him of being the thing and he's like, hey, what are you saying about that, huh? Or something like that. And just like a total monotone voice.
It sounds like a man who talks mostly to dogs being forced to defend his humanity.
Oh my god, that's very true. But no, come on. What's your favorite? This is a movie of transformations. Let's discuss.
I will say the only one I did scream at one part, and just in surprise.
I regret not getting to see that, because I forgot that I've seen this movie a lot, and this is only your second time seeing it, so...
Yeah, which to recap from our previous episode, I remember three facts. One, it starts with the dog running. Two guys die in the snow. Three, Norwegians are there.
Yeah, and I mean, again, weirdly enough, you were correct about the Norwegians, which is an insane detail to remember, considering the fact that you didn't even know where Antarctica was.
It's in the bottom.
Yeah, because I told you that.
I looked it up. I googled where's Earth's butt, and they're like, Antarctica, you nasty.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so, but no, I literally was texting Amelia about how bad this doctor's CPR technique was when the guy he was doing CPR on his chest just opened up and ate the man's hands. Which, again, I don't want to, like, victim blame the dead. Like, might not have happened if he'd kept his elbows locked and maintained a good rhythm.
Is that your favorite transformation then? Yeah. Or did you really just want to talk about the bad CPR? Because, I mean, like, that's valid.
Listen, it's bad CPR. It's bad, which, although, once again, in the doctor's favor, he has been dosed on morphine for, like, the last 72 hours. Are they allowed to poop? Are they, like, being walked anywhere? If they're on enough morphine, they won't want to poop. So you've got that going for them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just because I assume that whenever you take enough drugs of anything, it makes weird things happen with your poop.
No, it's true. As someone who's just recently doing a lot of homework on farm...
Okay, I was going to be like, where is this sentence going? As someone who's recently just done a bunch of cocaine and not pooped in a week, let me tell you.
No, on cocaine, I'm pooping a lot. On heroin, I'm keeping that on lockdown.
Well, this is great stuff.
Your choice is diarrhea or constipation. That is your option. Choose your weapon. Drugs will give you one of them. Opioids cause constipation. It is, in fact, the only symptom of opioids you cannot become acclimated to.
Wow, that's rough.
Yeah. Mom at some point was talking about people with opioid addictions, and she was saying, like, yeah, when we were treating this guy with opioids, you know, he was taking a dose that would, like, spread out among the people in the room would have been enough to make every single person overdose.
Wow.
But he was still constipated because your body's just never gonna not be constipated on opioids.
Oh my god. Well, that's interesting and weird.
Yeah. Well, speaking of gut problems, though, it was fucked up. That guy's stomach opened up.
Yeah.
Is that an okay transition?
That was an okay transition. I'll allow that.
You can cut the opioid poop digression. They bind with the mu receptors in the gut, and that's how they actually function. So, you know.
Really? That's like how heroin works?
Huh. Yeah. Mu receptors in your intestines do something. You put the opioid in the mu, and then you don't pain. But then the poop can't go in the mew, so no poop.
I have no fucking idea what you're talking about, but all right.
I do think it was sort of scientifically sound. It's 11:30 at night.
Thank you for staying up to talk about the thing with me, babe. So I think, honestly, it was kind of interesting watching it again this time, because obviously what struck me the first time, and probably the next few times, was the special effects, which are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. This is, like, so maybe good. My favorite special effects out of, like, any movie, because they're just, God, I mean, what can you even say about them? They're horrifying. They're so visceral. And they're so alien, too. They just really mm-hmm. captured that, like, total, they're repulsive, you know?
Yeah. Like, okay, be less horned up as you describe it.
I'm just, ooh, yeah, they're just, oh, so horrifying.
They were moist, and so was I. No, they looked really good. They were, like, really good. The doll, like, the half transformation was such a good choice of the basis of the horror, of, like, seeing this thing that had really never been human trying to look human, trying to, like, replace you.
Yeah. And the idea of, like, it doesn't just copy you, it absorbs and digests you alive. You know, I think mm-hmm. that's really what really amps up the horror. And it's so interesting because the horror elements of this are on so many levels. You have, like, the isolation of them being in this Arctic base. You have the paranoia. Isolation. I hate you so much.
I'm not sure if I articulated that clearly enough. They're isolated on the ice. Isolation. Yeah. I've been sitting on that since the last episode.
Are you serious? I believe you, but oh my god.
I'm amazed. Yeah, because when we ended the last episode, I said to you, oh, I forgot to make my really good joke. And you said, what's the joke? And I said, isolation, but like with ice, because they're on the Arctic. And then you told me that you hated me.
Did you say that? Because that was like 2 days ago, and I literally have no memory of that. I think that my brain just scrubbed it from my memory. Like,
to be fair, you have a lot of stuff leaking out your eyes. It could include, like, brain matter and memories.
Yeah, God, I fill a trash bag full of tissues every single day. Because my eyes are fucking as gooey as the thing.
No, I'm...
Can I continue saying my intelligent point now, Sarah?
You can try.
Oh, by God, I will. You have the isolation of being in this Arctic base. You have the paranoia of not knowing who might be a thing and who isn't. You have the body horror of knowing that if it gets to you, pretty much the most horrific thing you can imagine will happen to you. Like, there's just so many different layers. And then, like, the environmental factor of which, you know, ends up happening at the end. If anything goes wrong with these carefully structured things that we have in place so that we can survive here, we're all gonna freeze to death. So there's just, like, so much going on, and it's, like, it all just fits together so well.
Yeah, I think they really nailed the ramping up the horror and the fact, the interpersonal horror.
You know?
That it's, like, that you can't trust each other. That a couple I think at least one non-alien gets killed by a human.
It was the dog guy.
Dog guy. My favorite guy.
I do love that one shot. This is, like, only related because I was thinking about characters that I related to, of the doctor who kind of goes crazy and he's just sitting. They, like, open the window to his, like, isolation room, and he's just sitting there eating chili with a noose in the foreground being like, guys, I feel totally fine now.
I'm doing great, guys. You know, I took up yoga. It's really changed my perspective. Can I come back now?
So that's a mood.
Yeah. And he was building a spaceship. I didn't expect him to kind of include that, but he was certainly building a spaceship down there.
I know, because you texted me before they got to that. You were like, haha, he's building the jetpack. And I was like, he literally is, though. Like, that is what's happening.
Yeah. Unlike the novella, though.
MacReady doesn't get into the spaceship at the end and just fly it around for a bit and be like, wow, crazy. Crazy, that man should get to see this.
Okay,
that man
these
should,
actors
man should stand among the...
These actors with the novella dialogue would be extremely good.
Oh, my God.
Kurt Russell saying any of the monologues would be fantastic.
Those damned red eyes.
Rollerblade
oh,
boy.
Yeah, I loved Knowles. Oh. He's, you know, and like, this is kind of weird, but like, I was really glad that he didn't get a super gruesome death, because he just dies off screen, and I was like, I'm okay with that. He's just like this kid who like is rollerblading everywhere. I didn't want to see him die horribly.
I know. He seemed like, I don't know, a guy who signed up to be a cook, and they're like, and you're going to Antarctica, and he's like, I'm going where now?
He's like, right, I know where that is.
Isn't there a character on the
That's
Terror?
That's in Florida, right?
Isn't there a character on the Terror who's like, I'm going to the Mediterranean? And they're like, no, you dumb fuck, we're going to the North Pole.
Yeah, it's Cornelius Hickey. That's his backstory. He thinks, because they're trying to find the Northwest Passage to get to, like, the tropics, and he's like, that's where I'm gonna go.
Oh my God.
Failed step one.
Fucking moron.
I mean, anyway. As far as villain origin stories go, it's not bad.
I mean, dude, if I accidentally ended up in a polar region, you bet I would be eating people. I wouldn't even need the alien.
There's no cannibalism in this movie, though, which is...
There is no cannibalism. There is a lot of eating, though, if you think about it.
That's true. That's true.
If you're into vor and you're desperate...
God. I think if you're into vor, you're probably desperate.
There's
only so many times you can watch the Griffin McElroy banana video, you know?
Kirby.
Kirby?
The video game character Kirby.
Is there vor involved in Kirby? You know what? Don't answer that, Sarah.
Wow, you don't know the first thing about Kirby.
I don't know anything about
him. His superpower is eating and swallowing people.
Oh my God.
And then he becomes them. Kirby is the thing.
Oh no. Oh God.
God, what was I gonna say? It was like super deep. Oh, it was that those motherfuckers did not respect the cold enough. Like when their generator went out, I was like, good, you deserve to die.
Because, oh my God, like, Sarah.
These assholes are like, they're like, MacReady's out there in his fucking cowboy hat, like, yippee-ki-yay, I'm fine. Frostbite isn't a thing.
My ears fell off years ago.
And yeah, I know one time we see him outside and he's got like a hood thing on, and his cowboy hat on top, but that's just
Wait, what?
Dumber. Yeah.
The cowboy hat was on top of the hood? I missed that.
The cowboy hat is on top of, like, a ski cap that he's wearing
that also
encapsulates his neck, so he clearly put thought into this, but not enough. He's a cold man, and he doesn't take care of his face enough. That's one. Two, at some point we see people getting woken up to deal with, like, aliens or whatever, and it's, like, they're running out, and they're, like, pulling their pants on, and they're like, what's going on? Like, I'm pulling my shirt on. I'm like, were you sleeping in your fucking underwear? It's Antarctica. I've seen... The alien has burst through three of your walls. I know they're plywood.
Yeah,
like,
God.
Why are you doing this?
Paper screens.
Do you know what I'm gonna wear to bed tonight, Amelia?
Oh,
I'm gonna wear a shirt that covers me to my wrists, and pants that cover me to my ankles, and socks that go up to my knees just so there's no gaps.
Oh my God.
That's in Virginia. And you know how hot it was today? The air was pre-sweaty. It was so fucking hot. I do my laundry 2 times a week because I sweat too much. You know?
Well, I mean, it was like 100 degrees here and I don't have air conditioning. But yeah, your suffering sounds really valid.
I'm sorry. Did you go in the shade and was it better? Did you go inside and was it less hot? Because then you're beating Virginia.
Yeah, it's true. That's literally, like, one of the top reasons why I refuse to settle down on the East Coast. Fuck that swamp.
It's so bad. Babe, I feel like the humidity is particularly bad this year. It is like, and I know every year I say this is the year the devil wins, but this humidity is fucking unbearable. Holy shit. It is the worst.
Is it moist? Is it gooey?
It is like the air is trying to assimilate me. The air is like halfway transformed into water, but it's fucked up weird water. There's tentacles. Vor. God, I wish I was freezing to death in the Arctic.
Boy, I'm glad that I'm not in Virginia right now.
It's not great, Amelia. What other fetishes would be featured in this movie?
Ah.
Identity kink?
Is that a thing? Yeah, it's a thing. Why am I even asking?
It's like when you're like, ooh, Bruce Banner will flirt with you, but the Hulk won't. I explained that badly. And also, I definitely meant to say Bruce Wayne, and I did not mean to.
Oh my god. Okay, but can you explain, can you dig into that a bit and explain how Bruce Banner, okay, you know what? Actually, as I'm saying that, I don't think I want to know.
No, put it, what, okay, Thor Ragnarok.
I want you to contextualize your erotic Hulk fanfiction.
Thor Ragnarok. Valkyrie would not bang Bruce Banner. But Valkyrie...
Don't say that, Sarah. Don't say what you're about to say.
Might bang the Hulk.
No, she wouldn't. Don't say that.
You don't think that it's woman has looked at the Hulk too like big. A challenge? Yeah, you think every time someone's told her it's too much or too dangerous or Valkyrie, you'll die, she didn't think, like, fuck you, I can do it.
You know that image of that guy holding a cat with a katana? The guy has the katana, not the cat. That would be a better image. But that's me right now with Valkyrie.
Okay, yeah, but unfortunately your cat is drunk and she makes bad decisions.
It's very true.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm not saying it went well, but I think it wouldn't kill her. She might have
Oh my god.
I believe she would persevere. She's so strong. Can we please talk about something else?
Yeah, I really would love to. So, like, imagine hating this movie. That's kind of a crazy state of being to be in, isn't it? But apparently that was, like, the norm when it came out.
Yeah, which, considering that my glances over the reviews were, like, basically, like, this is horrifying and brutal and bleak and, like, gooey. It's, like, so gooey.
Oh, like, god, oh, I was trying to look up the thing reviews and accidentally typed in the thong, which I guess that's...
The thong is the porn parody, and let me tell you, it is truly horrifying.
Oh, god.
Oh, it's based off the novella Who Comes There?
No, I don't like that at all. I have a moral fucking... Oh my god, there's so many bad reviews! What the hell? What the fuck is... I'm, like, angry right now.
Hey, do you want to talk about... a little bit about the Thing movie that also got bad reviews by you when I texted you about it?
Yes.
The prequel version about the Norwegians, because they're pretty relevant.
Unfortunately, I don't remember anything about that movie except that I didn't like it. And the fact that... And I think this is kind of a really interesting comparison point. It was 2011, right?
Yeah.
The 2011 version uses CGI, whereas obviously the 82 version uses practical effects, and the difference is astounding. It's worse. It's so much worse in the CGI version. It just is not effective at all. You're just watching it and you're like, this is weird and gross, but I don't really feel that gut level sense of repelling that you do, where you look at what's happening on screen in the 82 version and you like want to get away from it, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's like your brain knows, not always, you know, like when you do CGI, like, hey, there's a city back there, my mind isn't like, you're tricking me. But, you know, when you have a full fucking tentacle, my mind can go like, oh, that's fake, you know, that's not a real tentacle.
If it was a real tentacle, I'd be so much hornier right now.
If it was a real tentacle, this would be a whole different circumstance. But,
the thong.
You know, this version is like, everything has weight and texture and people's hands are like buried in these guts and it's bloody and it's gross and it's like, almost because of, not quite the artificiality, that's not quite what I mean, but sometimes you'll look and you'll be like, I can see that's a puppet, in a way, you know, I can see by the movement of the dog, like, I can see how they could have done this, you know, but it's sort of like in the way that, like, because my mind can contextualize it in any physical way, it becomes a lot more viscerally horrifying, even at the same time where I'm going like, oh, it's interesting, I wonder how they, like, you know, I wonder how they molded that face, but because it's like they're also, I know I could touch it, my mind is like, don't touch that face, it's evil.
Yeah, yeah. And
I think CGI just never makes me want to touch the CGI.
Yeah, because when CGI, when you cross that line in CGI where you can tell that it's not real, it just becomes fake. You know, it becomes like a piece of paper that somebody holding in front of the camera. But with practical effects, even when it happens and you're like, that looks weird, it looks not quite right, it kind of crosses into Uncanny Valley in a sense, where it then becomes almost even more disturbing because you're like, okay, I know that's not real, but that's like really creepy what I'm seeing right now. You know, like this face that's not right and it's being taken over by this, it adds a whole nother layer, I think, where you're aware of something being real, but also aware of something not being right.
Yeah. And, you know, even if the effect isn't good, you know the actor got, like, blasted with fake blood. Okay.
One thing that... Yeah, go ahead.
No, because I think you sounded like you had a real thing to say.
Oh, it's not a real thing.
Okay, you're a dumb thing, then I'm a dumb thing.
I was just going to say one thing that really struck me on this viewing was that the guy in the helicopter, his aim really fucking sucked, huh?
His aim sucked so bad.
He was, like, right on top of the thing, and he could not shoot it with, like, multiple bullets. And also, he butterfingered a grenade and then blew himself up, like...
Why did he go back digging for the grenade?
I don't know. It looked like they had a lot of grenades there. Like...
You can have more grenade. Like... I don't know.
I don't know.
The Norwegians were not thinking the most clear. Maybe I should watch the prequel movie to understand why they did that.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. Yeah. The entire prequel movie is based on explaining that conceit.
Yeah, I think it is. I remember reading one review, which was like, they set up a whole set piece for a while just to show you how the axe gets embedded in the wall.
Oh, and it's God. Like
so
That's
much
so
less effective, you know, than just seeing the axe.
Well, and I think, you know what? Can I actually say a real thing really quick? I know you said my dumb thing and then your dumb thing, but I want to talk.
I want to talk for one little
I'm
giving you permission. Talk.
Then stop talking and let me fucking segue. I want to talk about the idea of when you show things and when you don't. Because again, going back and explaining how that axe got embedded into the door, it's like, we don't actually care that much. What matters is the fact that we don't know why that happened. And when you go back to explain it, you're actually taking away from the horror and the mystery of it.
Yeah.
And I think, in general, a lot of horror works really hard not to show you things. Like, the monster is sort of kept off screen as long as possible. Like, it cuts away before you can really look at something. Because when you look at something, you can start to go through that process we were talking about where you're like, oh, okay, I can kind of see how they did that, you know, and you can start to rationalize it. And once you start to rationalize it, it's no longer as scary as it was before. But the thing does the complete opposite, and it just really shoves these horrific images in your face, like, over and over and over. And, like, what makes it so effective is that those images are really good. The effects are so good, and the camera work is so good that, like, it works. And I'm just really impressed by that. The fact that they can literally show you these long, extended, multiple shots of this monster, and at the end of the scene, it's just as horrifying, or perhaps even more so than it was at the beginning.
Yeah, they definitely have the loving grossness of people who truly love horror.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like an effects team that was like, and then what if the head turned into its own thing and then, like, became a spider?
God,
like,
I would love to be in that room when they were designing all the stuff that was gonna happen with this thing.
Yeah. Oh, boy. No, I agree with you. I thought the movie did, like, it's interesting because it's coy at the beginning, like, oh, what's happening? Norwegians, who knows, you know? Oh, and there's a dog. Who can say what's happening? They speak Norwegian, we can never know. And then once it pops off, the dog transformation, it is pretty much just like, you're gonna see what happens after this.
You're gonna see the goo.
You're gonna, listen, it's gonna be gooed up.
It's gonna be viscous. It's gonna be agglutinative.
Are you looking up synonyms for gooey?
No, I just knew that one off the top of my head, literally. Ooh. So I might be saying it wrong.
Anyway, who is your favorite man in this movie?
Oh, definitely Childs. I love him. He's just, like, so done with everything. Every single shot that you see him in, he's literally just, like, giving McCready? What the fuck is his name?
Mac.
He's literally giving Mac this expression, like, the visual representation of the sound, ugh. I swear, like, every single shot, you can tell that he's just finished rolling his eyes.
No, I love that. And I thought he had a good sense of spirit for someone who, like, definitely knows he's human. And I hope that, like, somewhere in the scene where they're testing, like, their humanity, like, there's a moment where Mac is like, so you've been human the whole time, but this is the personality that you've been opting for? This is the problem-solving method you've chose to go for?
God, I love him. And I love how, like, they have this shot where, like, after they prove he's human, for, like, 30 whole seconds afterwards, it's just him on the couch being like, get me out of here! Come on! Come on! Let me off this fucking couch! Come on! Come on! Let me off this couch! And it's just so long. And they're just like, it's they so really long. Want you to know how angry he is about being tied to this couch. And I'm like, you know what? That's fair. I'd be pretty pissed, too.
That's fair. It's such a long time. I was wondering, like, are we supposed to think MacReady's just gonna leave him tied to the couch?
Was that your dumb thing, asking who my favorite man was, or did I take
Yeah, there's just,
me?
Like, a lot of men. There's just, like,
who's your favorite
so
man?
Many men. Niles.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. I also really like Childs. I like Childs and MacReady.
Yeah. Their relationship is genuinely great.
MacReady less is, like, a person than a character.
Yeah.
if I had to pick one person, okay, who are you least sad to see die? Because I gotta go with Windows or whatever his fucking name was. He was so, like, scared, and I was like, I get it, but, like, you gotta be quicker on the flamethrower, my dude.
I know. You're holding it, your finger's on the trigger. Just barbecue it, man. I don't know who. I mean, like, this, I didn't really hate any of the characters, which is novel.
I know, but you must pick one. Amelia,
I must.
You must. One must be sacrificed.
You demand a sacrifice? Yeah.
Yes. Kill a man for me, Amelia.
Man, I don't know, because I'm just, like, thinking, oh.
Oh my god, you don't want to kill any of them.
I mean, like, they're dead already, Sarah. I can't kill them again, because I'm just sitting here, but it's like, what can I say? Like, just by their descriptors, like, oh yeah, the doctor who also has a nose ring. Like, no,
okay, yeah,
no.
He deserved to live.
The stoner who is, like, fully, who, like, explains for 5 minutes about why aliens are real. Like, come on! Rollerblade kid. No!
Never! Ginger guy who got shot, maybe.
Which, who guy? Who got shot?
He got
oh,
shot.
Oh, ginger
in the
guy.
Thigh?
Yeah, yeah, no, he was super annoying. Yeah, he can die.
He was super annoying? In what way was he annoying?
He told Knowles to turn down his music.
That's true. That's literally the only thing I could think
the
of.
The worst.
The worst. And then Knowles would be like, oh, nah.
Yeah.
Also, can I say, I am disappointed that they chose to acknowledge that MacReady was just fondling some dirty Long John underwear. Kind of thought, like, I realized, like, they'd been lingering on it for a while, so I figured they were going to address it. But I prayed to God that they would just let it be a character quirk of his.
You know, anytime that anyone's done with their underwear, they just have to give it to MacReady. You know, he washes it afterwards, but, like,
listen, ever since he poured scotch directly into his computer, you've got to make your own fun in the Antarctic.
God.
Shouldn't there be penguins in this movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I still love your pitch for the better version of the opening, where instead of a dog running across the snow, it's just a penguin swooping.
And then that would explain why they couldn't hit him, because penguins move fast.
Yeah, it's just like a bar of soap, man.
Yeah. Well, do you have any one last thought? Do you have any one last thought?
This is, like, the best soundtrack ever. I love the main theme so much.
I appreciate horror movies back when they, like, and, oh god, but sorry, that was verging very much into, like, yeah, back when the movies were good, and I never
back
wanted.
In the golden days.
But, like, there are some times where, like, I'm listening to horror movie soundtracks now, and it's like someone threw a fucking cat on a xylophone and then put it in a minor key, and it's just like, and then
are,
like,
you thinking of It Follows?
No, not even that, because that one even had some musicality, you know.
Yeah,
it was, like,
I love
really
that
80s
one.
Inspired, but, like, some are just, like, you know, Hannibal is a example of it. Of, like,
oh, God, yeah.
But, like, not the only one. In fact, that one has more musicality than some. Where literally, it's just like, sometimes it just seems like horror movie soundtracks are just like, But, like, with a beat?
Yeah. Sometimes, and it's like some, basically they don't have a soundtrack, they just have sound effects that they use.
Yes. And sometimes the sound effects are just, like, some guy with a thiamin died on it, impaling himself. So I really liked that this one was like, nah, we got an orchestra.
Yeah, we're gonna use it.
I don't even know. Actually, I have no idea what produced the sounds in this movie. Penguins.
Fucking raw sexual energy. That's what produced them. Mm. Imagine having sex to the main theme of the thing. You could thrust in time, right?
And then Stevie Wonder's Superstitious, because that song
fucking bangs. Oh my god. And was also in the movie, I feel like.
It was in the movie.
Yeah. Anyway. That's not just like your go-to sex song.
No, my go-to sex song is the original Pokemon soundtrack.
That's very good. That's very good.
Specifically the Pokemon rap. I used to know it. Now I don't.
Are you sure you don't know it's her, or are you just embarrassed?
No, I really, I'm like, Machamp, Tarzan, no, that's
it. Also, you're clearly lying. I know what your real sex soundtrack song is.
I don't,
it's
what is it?
The Yu-Gi-Oh! Theme.
Oh, no. okay, this is unrelated.
And mine's the Jurassic Park theme.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I recently thought to myself, like, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Soundtrack was pretty good, though, right? So I listened to, like, the original theme song. I kept trying to, like, search YouTube, like, no, the real original theme song. This can't be it. This is so bad.
Oh, that's great. Oh my god.
Anyway, I very much liked the movie, and I appreciated having the chance to watch it again. The dog deserved happiness, and the humans did not.
Yeah, so I guess the movie turned out okay in that vein.
Well, they did, if you think about it, there was a lot of dog death. Both death of real dogs, and death of, I can't believe it's not dog.
Yes, I also like this movie a lot. This is probably one of my favorite horror movies. I just think it's a really amazing, atmospheric, like, horrifically beautiful film. Like, one that I've watched many times and that, like, I still just continue to get a lot out of. And I think when it comes to horror, that's even more impressive, because I think with horror, it's easy to just jot off a movie that is scary the first time you see it, and then the next time when you know everything's going to happen, you're just like, well, okay, it's not scary anymore. But if a movie can continue to just impress you with its atmosphere and its pacing and its visuals, I just love this movie so much.
Hey, quick question. Is this podcast just a long con by you to make me experience your favorite media?
Listen, Sarah, it's turning out really good so far.
All right, cool. Next week we discuss, I don't know, Jurassic Park and why Amelia should be in the second movie. Third, fourth, fifth? Which one are they on?
I don't even know. All right, well, this has been Crack Spines. You can find us on Twitter at SpinesCast. You can find us on Tumblr at Crack Spines Podcast. And you can email us at crackspinescast@gmail.com. I would ask you what it is if that's correct, Sarah, but I don't think that you're actually conscious right now.
I love you.
Alrighty. Thank you all so much for listening, and The Thing is a freaking awesome, gooey, gory movie, and you should go check it out.
Yes, and now
but
to
not
end
on
our
a full
episode,
stomach.
Now to end our episode as the movie ends with two people, one of whom is possibly an alien, just sort of staring off into the silence.
Waiting to fall asleep.
God, please.
Alright guys, see you next time.
I'm the human.